live on the air, but we do make a tape cassette. As I say, it's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, and it's broadcast number 574, December the 6th, 1982. Now, I'm going to discuss a favorite subject that I haven't updated for many of you in a long time, Kramer versus Kramer. And briefly, I'm going to give you about 1 minute background in case you haven't heard the broadcast, because there's still confusion in people's minds when I talk about Kramer versus Kramer. In simplistic forms, or to reduce it down to this 1 minute, Adolf Hitler had a chief of staff named Fritz Kramer. He was in charge of the Battle of the Bulge, the Malmedy massacres, the Panzer, the 6th Division, and he worked with top Nazis that were later released out with the help of the American government. All were released, his co-patriots, Mr. Piper, Mr. Dietrich, and so forth. And this Kramer of Hitler's, after he sat in the dock at his prisoner 33, became a non-person, and there's no record of him in any history book afterwards. Now, the United States had a Fritz Kramer, and he was from Germany. He was from Nazi Germany and then Mussolini's Italy. He came to the United States in the spring of 1939, the same year that Otto von Bolschwing from the Krupp organization, who was to do massive espionage for Adolf Hitler, was in the United States with William Donovan in 1939. This other Kramer came here, and he recruited Henry Kissinger, took him back to Europe, and I've done many, many tapes and hours on this particular, these two Kramers, because I believe they're the same man. I believe the plans officer for the chief of our Pentagon, the chief advisor to the Pentagon, up till about 2 years ago when he retired, is Hitler's chief of staff. And I'm waiting for evidence to disprove this belief, because I've based it on many, many books, and I've been searching and having people searching. But today I want to share with you some information I got from a listener who takes these broadcasts up in Canada that may break the story of the Kramer saga for us. I was very excited about this week. This listener to World Watchers sent a chapter from a book that I never would have looked for in the library in a million years. It's called The Adventures of a Bystander by Peter Drucker, D-R-U-C-K-E-R, published in 1979. And the chapter he sent to me is called The Man Who Invented Kissinger. That is the man who Mr. Eagledon wants to become president of the United States, so we better know who invented Kissinger. Now, this is about Fritz Kramer. Mr. Peter Drucker was born in Vienna. He went to a Frankfurt University at the same time I.G. Farben's headquarters and Mr. Abst in Frankfurt, Germany, and the Deutsche Bank. He was with Kramer in Frankfurt, and he seems to take responsibility for bringing Fritz Kramer to this country. And in this chapter, I'll just read you or share with you a few sections. He says that Fritz Kramer's mother was the sole daughter of a chemical manufacturer in the Ruhr region. And of course, that would be IG Farben. They had the monopoly of the chemicals in Germany at the time. His brother, he has a brother named Wilhelm, who's a surgeon in Edinburgh, Scotland. That's new information. I knew that the British apprehended him as a possible Nazi spy during the war at the time that Fritz Kramer was allowed into our U.S. Army intelligence. He has a brother who's in Scotland. His father rose to the top of the legal hierarchy and lived in Dusseldorf as the director of public prosecution for the entire Rhineland. And I've mentioned before that the hardest job that Adolf Hitler had from the end of World War II, from the 1919 up to 1924, was to pervert all the courts so that the murderers got out and the innocent were locked up, and there were a series of 400 murders of political people. Now, he was the director of public prosecution for the entire Rhineland, an ultra-nationalist with close ties to the emerging Nazi movement. Fritz's mother kept a home during the war in Frankfurt. She didn't leave Nazi Germany, and he had a wife and a new baby, and he left them with his mother when he came to the United States. Now, this author is saying, and he's a well-known author, he's written many books, Peter Drucker, many years during World War II, I had to explain again and again why Kramer was not a Nazi and could not be a Nazi, because he was a genuine conservative. Papa, mama, brother, but not him. And he tells how Kramer enlisted in the American Army. Now, he says to fight Nazis, but then it gets really funny as he goes on. He says Kramer never explained his political convictions or his philosophy, but he had several goals. One, to be the political advisor to the chief of the general staff of the U.S. Army, which he did get. And the other was to be the political mentor of a great foreign secretary, which was Henry Kissinger, which he got. And this man brought him to the country, and those were to be his two goals. When Hitler came to power in 1933, Kramer, according to this author, Mr. Drucker, finished his law studies in international law in 1933. That's when Hitler came to power. He had married a Swedish girl, Britta. They attended the International Law Seminar. He then went to Mussolini's Italy. In 1939, in the spring of 1939, he came to the United States and left his wife and new baby with his mother, who was not bothered by the Nazi regime at any time, living there with some children near Dusseldorf, I guess near the husband in that area. They were separated, but the mother in 1939 had the wife and baby. He came here in September 1939. Oh, no, he came in the spring of 39, pardon me. But in September, the war began in Europe. We know that. Wow, Hitler invaded Poland, September 1939. 2 years later, Pearl Harbor began. Again, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Fritz Kramer enlisted in the American Army as a private. Father over there in Germany with the Nazis. Mother over there in Germany with the Nazis. He's gone to school till 1933 in Vienna when Hitler came to power, and then to Mussolini's Italy. Now he's in the United States. Now, this is the clue to the thing that I've been studying, the Kramer versus Kramer, that is very good. I never would have found it in this book. This man who brought him to this country, who's known him since college, since Frankfurt, should know him better than anybody else. He brought him here. Okay, his dreams, he knows, his goals. He said he was in the battlefield. He received a battlefield commission in his regiment's first combat action and thereafter rose rapidly. Lie. I don't believe he was in any single combat action in the United States. He says when the war ended, he was either a colonel or a brigadier general. Lie. He wasn't anything like that. And I've written to Army Intelligence, the U.S. Army, and three different stations or four offices, and I'll share them with you. Lie. He wasn't a colonel or brigadier general, but Hitler's Fritz Kramer was a brigadier general, okay, or a top colonel. He was on Patton's staff and assistant commander of the division that seized the Remagen Bridge that first crossed the Rhine. Now, this may be complicated for you that don't know the subject. It says he was on General Patton's staff. Hitler's Fritz Kramer was on Patton's staff when the war was over. He has put him on Patton's staff at the bridge. Now, the Army told me that Fritz Kramer, U.S. Fritz Kramer, was in seven different countries, including Germany. And I said, what dates was he in Germany? And I believe that he went back and forth, and the record shows he did, to all these countries during the war. And as the war was winding down, he was in Germany. When Patton was at that bridge at the Rhine, Hitler's Kramer was there, and he had been working with the American Army, had recruited Henry Kissinger in the American Army, and at that point, he was taken in as a prisoner of war. He wasn't with the Allies because he probably had on a German uniform, so they had to put him with Mr. Piper and Mr. Dietrich and Otto Skorzeny and all of those that got out and worked with Martin Bormann instantly as soon as they were out. So he probably was doing a double thing when Patton came, because that was the deciding point of that particular battle. And the reason the Battle of the Bulge took place and the Malmedy massacre took place was they were stalling the war 7 months to get the gold and the silver and the art and the diamonds out to start the Bormann Brotherhood, so that Mr. Abs could distribute the capital as the Deutsche Bank chief, which was his role with the Marshall Plan and with his own bank when the war was over. Now, this Mr. Drucker says 4 days later, When the war was over, Mr. Kramer was in the little town where his mother was with her little school. And as a sheer miracle, his mother, his wife, and his son survived. Sheer miracle, nothing. The Allies knew not to bomb IG Farben. They knew not to bomb Auschwitz. They knew everything that was going on. Mr. Drucker says, and then Fritz Kramer attained the first of his goals. He resigned his commission and turned civilian and became political advisor in Europe for the chief of staff for the U.S. Army. Now, I have our American Kramer, 1945 to 1948, working with the Army. But it says he resigned his commission. But this one has him. He wasn't processed out. He was still working for the Army. He says he became a civilian, and our United States Army says he was still in. So that's another lie. But this man knows him better than anybody, so we have to hold this up. He attended both the War College. He taught there. His office at the Pentagon got larger. Soon he's in a suite occupied by the chief of staff of the United States Army, with a private connecting door to the chief's own room, the United States Army. That's how important he was. Now, he picks up this Mr. Kramer was friendly with Henry Kissinger. He met him when they were both in the Army and Army intelligence. During basic training, Henry Kissinger had heard about a lecture of the European war, and he knew about Fritz Kramer in basic training. Can you imagine basic training in the South teaching about Fritz Kramer? The question Kissinger asked, he was so impressed with Kramer that and Kramer met him, that he became Kramer's protege. And Kramer took Henry Kissinger after the war and said, Henry, gentlemen, don't go to City College, go to Harvard. He arranged for Kissinger's admission to Harvard. And if I don't have time this week, I'm going to continue the career of Henry Kissinger, the killer, the assassination teams, starting with the murder of Mossadegh and Iran and overthrowing Guatemala and like 30 or 70 other countries. You can have your choice which ones they influence. Henry, don't go to City College. Go to Harvard. He got his admission to Harvard, this man, and he was put in as a favorite student by leading government professors. They fawned over him, and Henry Kissinger stayed close to his mentor, Fritz Kramer. He got his first teaching position at Harvard. What has not been published in Kissinger's thoughts, as well as his actions of the U.S. Secretary of State under Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford, are pure Kramer, Kramer, Kramer. This is from this book about the mentor of Henry Kissinger. Every thought in that German's head that they would want us to have as president is Kramer. And you have to go back to the background. Is this Kramer the chief of staff for Hitler, who has pumped that arrogant little punt, Henry Kissinger, to where he is? Every thought of his actions when he worked for Nixon and Ford is pure Kramer, Kramer. The enemy, Kramer, is the enemy of publicity of any kind. He's never written or published anything except at Frankfurt University between 1929 and 1933. Why is he the enemy of publicity? Because his face will match the docket 33, prisoner 33. He isn't seen. He isn't photographed. Can you imagine a man influencing, taking into the Army Henry Kissinger, dumping him there with the chief war criminals after the war, and having a role in getting to Harvard and into the Pentagon and chief of staff, and we are not even knowing the biography of this man? And this book goes on that every idea that he has is important behind Henry Kissinger's success. But Fritz Kramer goes on, has no time for fools. Kissinger and Kramer get along beautifully, and he believes that a man should have somebody behind the scenes, no charisma and so forth, nothing phony, no abomination. He should work quietly behind the scenes. This is the story of Henry Kissinger from the man who put him where he is, Peter Drucker, Adventures of a Bystander, published in 1979. Now, after I got that role, and I have the Pentagon military documents that I sent for and from various parts of the Army, I got out the book by Ladislas Ferrigno, The Last Days of Patton. This was published by McGraw-Hill in 1981, and it tells how Patton, after the Battle of the Bulge, this whole special division was created in January 1945, the 15th Army, by a Lieutenant General Leonard T. Gerow, G-E-R-O-W. And he went on to be head of the War College, the job that Patton wanted. And Patton was taken over to Germany, to Bavaria. And in his custody, according to Farrago, were assembled the great captains of the defunct German army and officers, Hitler's top men. Patton always professed to respect, even across the barriers of war, these great people. He came to regard them as akin with admiration and affection and sympathy. This is after the ovens are open, after the bodies are exposed, the story is told. He has sympathy and affection for them, and his sympathy grew. Here, working with him were the erudite people of Hitler's group, Hasso van Manteuffel, M-A-N-T-E-U-F-F-E-L, Kurt Student, that's the man who betrayed the Battle of Arnhem with Prince Bernhard, who formed the Bilderbergers for the money people who meet to slice up countries, Prince Bernhard, from I.G. Farben, again from Hitler's Germany, who married Queen Juliana. Here in the Institute of Advanced Military Studies was Fritz Kramer, Hitler's Fritz Kramer, along with heads of the Panzer divisions. The Russians, according to, this is General Patton teaching these people, the Russians still bothered them. Anyone who says there won't be a future war is a, can I say it on the air, I'll say a damn fool, and he uses the other word. Patton devoured anti-Russian literature his brother was sending from Boston, and he had a school. So the key word here is Patton respected these people, he cared for them, and here in his custody, working for him now, was Fritz Kramer. And that's where Fritz Kramer from Nazi Germany worked for Patton. And that he had, as I say, picked up in that German uniform. But when the war was out, one book says he worked for Patton. And this book says he worked for Patton. And I believe more and more every day that it is the same person. Now, I wrote to my congressman, Leon Panetta. I've had a running correspondence in the past year with the Pentagon about this Fritz Kramer, and I got a letter from Leon Panetta from California, September the 9th, 1982, and he said, "Dear May, thanks for your additional material on Dr. F.G. Fritz Kramer, plans officer for the Chief of Staff of U.S. Army. I have contacted U.S. Army Military History Institute in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and was informed that a number of Dr. Kramer's papers are maintained in the Institute's archives. Additionally, I'm informed requests for copies of the material should be directed to Dr. Richard J. Summers, S-O-M-M-E-R-S, U.S. Army Military History Institute, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, 17013. I wrote October the 9th and to Richard Summers, Ph.D., and he just wrote back this last week, "Dear Ms. Brussel, thank you for your letter of October 9th concerning the stations of Fritz Kramer from 1944 to 1946. I had asked him which countries he was in specific dates, because the military told me he was in seven different countries. I regret to inform you that the Military History Institute has no information on that subject. The plans officer of the Pentagon, a man that Mr. Drucker says was a general, was a high-up American military, who went through the battles with Patton. I mean, in one book, the man who brought him here and knew him from Frankfurt is giving us this glorious battle, and there's no information on him, U.S. Department of Army. My congressman told me they would send it to me, and they didn't. Earlier in July, I wrote the Department of Army in Fort George, Maryland, U.S. Army Intelligence, and they said to determine the existence of Army Intelligence investigative material concerning F.G. Kramer. They made a search. They searched everywhere. There's no Army Intelligence investigative records identifiable with Fritz Kramer." Again, this is the man that Mr. Drucker from Vienna and from Frankfurt, who comes to the United States and then brings Fritz with him and then produces Henry Kissinger. There's no Army Intelligence at all in Fort George, Maryland. But they suggest that you write to the Defense Investigative Service. So I wrote to the Defense Investigative Service, and those of you who remember this, but this is important and must be repeated, because the letter I got this week from the Army that at Carlisle, they will not send on anything about Kramer and the importance of the Borman Apps promotions into the Vatican. And Kramer's protege even suggested in the Newsweek this week that he maybe could become president of the United States. Now, Defense Investigative Service had written to me in July 28th in reference to Mr. Fritz Kramer. They said they had some material that he was a non-commissioned officer. That's hardly the general that we were hearing about from Mr. Drucker. From September to 1944 to April 1945, he served overseas. So he was in the Army. He wasn't out in 1945 till April 45, and then he continued up to October 47. He was overseas during the war, and I mentioned before, Scotland, England, France, Belgium, Holland, and Germany. And I asked the Army, what dates was he in Germany? That's a fair question. But they didn't say. It says from 19 April 1945, and the war was over in May 1945, to 20 October 1947, he continued to serve overseas in Europe with headquarters, 84th Infantry Division headquarters, 1st Armored Division, and this was the European Theater Intelligence School and Command. So he was not discharged. It says from October 21st, 1947 to 24th of February, he served in the Army, in discharged in Brooklyn. He was in the general Ground General School at Fort Riley, Kansas, earlier. But up through this whole period, he went into military instruction in the Army in February 1948 and was appointed a first lieutenant. So if you catch a man of Drucker's stature, incidentally, he is a man who's written many books. He's a financial advisor to the multinational corporations, General Motors, the DeLorean Company, and others. And he's a very important man, Ford Motor Company, ITT. He taught the multinationals for the IG Farben how to combine, how to set their forces, how to make these combinations. I'm sure he's the genius. He's the financial genius of a lot that is going on. As I say, the author of many books, and describes this man who created the Henry Kissinger and talks about Kramer. But if you catch him in one lie, such as what when Kramer was in the Army, or what his commission was, or what his battle was, but he reveals that he worked on Patton's staff. And then you take another book that Hitler's Kramer worked on Patton's staff. I think you'll see what I've been driving at for the last year on working on Kramer. From St. Louis, Missouri, they gave me the dates. Army of the United States, 1945 to February 1948, honorably discharged first lieutenant. So that is Mr. Kramer, and he was not discharged earlier into civilian life. The Army has him up to 1948. That is the date that the other Kramer with Patton could have gotten out of the Dachau docket. All of them, the main ones, were out the trials in 1946, December. They could have all gotten off the hook. Now, in conclusion, we have about five more minutes. I just want to do a little bit from that absolutely brilliant article in Atlantic Monthly this month by Seymour Hersh. It is wonderful article on Kissinger, Nixon, and Chile. And I think if you read it, even though I share some of it with you, it will give you a view of what's going on with Mr. Haig, Alexander Haig, and Henry Kissinger. He doesn't mention Kramer, but remember that Kissinger is the protege. And as Mr. Drucker said, every thought in Kissinger's head is Kramer, Kramer, Kramer. And the family was IG Farben and Nazi background. In the article called The Price of Power, a few sentences to update the anniversary of Kennedy's death and to remind you what goes on in the world, and then I'll get back to other parts of this article with you, hopefully next week and each week. He said Richard Nixon specifically ordered the CIA to get rid of Salvador Allende. Richard Helms, the CIA director, had no doubt in his mind that's what he meant. Henry Kissinger pressured Helms at least one time. It could have been 100, but modestly, he says at least once. Edward Bennett Williams was the attorney for Richard Helms and provided information to the Senate Committee of detailed information of the plans of Nixon and Kissinger for the plans to murder Allende. Now, Edward Bennett Williams is also the attorney for Marvin Davis of 20th Century Fox that put Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford on the board, and for the John Hinckley, who shot President Reagan, that would have made CIA Vice President Bush president. To get back to the story, the CIA director Richard Helms was no innocent about CIA assassination. Starting in 1960, according to Seymour Hersh, he was aware of the efforts of the CIA of plans for assassinations. And 60 is when John Kennedy won the election against Richard Nixon. And he mentions the plans of getting rid of Castro, but the CIA killed every head of state they wanted, and Castro is still living. But the anti-Castro Cubans that didn't kill Castro killed Kennedy, and the date they were formed with Robert Mayhew and John Roselli and Sam Giancana and Richard Helms was at the time that Kennedy won the election against Richard Nixon, who was so great in bringing these Nazis to the country. On specific orders to kill, Helms said, I think any of us would have found it difficult to discuss the assassination with the president. We all had the feeling that we are hired to keep those things out of the Oval Office. All the president has to say, the technique is, we wish he wasn't there. We talked about assassinations in 1969 or 1970. It was embarrassing in the White House. There was an uproar over the revelations of Castro, Patrice Lumumba in the Congo, Rafael Trujillo in the Dominican Republic. Henry Kissinger and had planned the murder of Thu in South Vietnam if he botched up the peace conference. And, of course, I could list the other murders like Diem that were part of their list, but we don't have time tonight. Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig were involved in these plans, he said. The stakes were high, he said, regarding the highest level of assassination talk. The stakes would warrant steps we had not contemplated since 1963. Now, what do you think happened in 1963? And I've done broadcasts about Alexander Haig and his role in the Pentagon and with the Bay of Pigs operators and the promise they'd have Cuba again. What Seymour Hersh is saying, and he's done brilliant work on many, many things and written a book on chemical deposits and so forth, I'll share with you. He said, regarding the discussion of the murder of Allende and the embarrassment of the Lumumba and these other murders, Patrice Lumumba, the other murders that came out, regarding the highest level of assassination talk, the stakes would warrant steps we have not contemplated since 1963. Does that jump at you on the anniversary of Kennedy's death? Henry Kissinger and Haig were involved in these plans. Well, who is Kissinger? He's Fritz Kramer again, and going back to 63. And next week, I'm going to do the military history of Henry Kissinger. Seymour Hersh talks about his military covert action while he was still at Harvard. And then he came to Harvard. And who put him at Harvard? Fritz Kramer. And he was the darling of Harvard. So, and more next week on Haig and Kissinger, and always on Fritz Kramer, till we know if Hitler's Fritz Kramer, the chief of his staff, the man working with Otto Skorzeny, who lived to set up the Odessa, is the man in the White House with the Pentagon through the chicanery of the era since the end of World War II. I believe, as I say, it is the same man. And this new information by Mr. Drucker about Kramer is very important. There's a Yiddish word that means dreck, so I'm tempted to call Mr. Drucker Drecker, but we'll settle for Drucker. That's his name. This is Mae Brussel. It is KAZU-FM, and we'll go off the air at this time.
The views expressed by Mae Brussel during World Watchers are those of the commentator and do not reflect the opinions of KAZU, its board of directors, or staff.